Skype praça.
That's our intro.
It's the top six in your back.
All right, on the top six of this week. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one was inspired by me thinking about topics because Jody's always thinking about topics, and then I feel like, shit, I need to pull my weight. And I was actually watching Baby Driver, and I was watching the scene where, you know, it's the opening scene, and it's the bank heist and whatever, and the music kicks in, and that, yeah, that scene is amazing. And I started thinking how appropriate the song was, and then the topic came to me about the best use of a song in a movie. Baby Driver is off the table because
it's basically a cheat code.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of scenes where that would, you know, the songs kind of work. So we weren't allowed to use Baby Driver. We also weren't allowed to use songs that were written specifically for the movie. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about popular songs or even songs that are not that popular, but it enhanced the scene in the movie that you can't think of any other song being played during that scene.
We've also specifically excluded songs or musical items by composers like Hans Zimmer, top guys.
Yeah, no score.
That was scored for a movie as well.
Jody, we're going to kick it up with you because I am still pulling my head order.
I know my top three, but I've been cycling between how to order them. I think I'm just going to go with this one at number three. So I'll do 3-1, again in ascending order like we normally do.
Okay.
And my number three is Bang Bang, He Shut Me Down, Kill Bill Volume 1. For those who remember the Kill Bill movie, it starts off with the song playing during the introductory credits. I just really love the use of the song. I think it's such a perfect mood setter for this film. We all know that Quentin Tarantino is very eclectic in terms of, you know, there aren't set genres for his movies, first of all. But he's also very eclectic with his music use in movies.
Mm.
And I think that this song really showed us that Kill Bill Volume 1 was his first effort at doing like a Western film. Mm. Because this was like before him actually doing Westerns.
Mm.
And if you look at the plot of the movie, you know, revenge being the main theme of it, the song is just really sets the mood. I think that the depth of the betrayal also, because again, spoilers for those who haven't seen Kill Bill.
Yes. You haven't seen Kill Bill, you know what? Dude, just fucking podcast.
You can't be listening to us. But the movie is about the bride trying to get to Bill and killing Bill because he tried to kill her. And the movie starts off by showing us going on this mission and everything, and we don't really have context, but we already feel due to the use of that song just how betrayed she must have been.
Mm.
I mean, the lyrics of the song also, I think, are just perfect for what actually unfolds throughout this movie. Yeah. Bang, bang, he shot me down.
My baby shot me down.
You know, the amount of love that there must have been for someone to experience that and then need to go after them and so on. So I think that it's an odd choice for the start of the movie. Also a movie that is like incredibly vibrant, incredibly colorful, but to start with that somber tone and with a really beautiful song, I think was a great choice by Quentin Tarantino, and it really set the mood for what ended up being one of my, if not my favorite, Quentin Tarantino film.
Damn. Yeah, I don't have much to say on that. It's just that I despise the dance remix that spawned from that.
I made notes about that. I didn't even talk about it. I mean,
bang, 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 bang.
Amount of dance versions of the song that came out afterwards. It's like, guys,
but
the original's not bad.
No, it speaks to how good, you know, it was used in that film and how popular it became, because I don't think we would have gotten that club track if it wasn't for this movie. Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you. I can't say much more than that. That's a good pick. Such a sad song.
Mm-hmm.
Good choice, Buck.
Before you go into your list, I'm like, for those listening, I don't think I'm ready for this jelly. I've seen like your top five. I'm already like, I'm green with envy as I'm sitting
here. Yeah, but
I don't know which ones you can
put them in order, you fucker. Then we'll see. Okay. So I'm going to go with my third pick, which is Night Call from Drive.
Mm.
And Nicholas Winding Refn, his crime caper Drive, which is very stylistic. Mm. And shot in Los Angeles, which in Los Angeles is actually a character in the film, basically. So when at the beginning of the film, he sort of drives with these robbers and whatever, and you see sort of what his skill is in terms of being a getaway driver and escaping the cops, and you know, it's quite fast and energetic and and he gets to his drop-off point and the two guys leave and he just walks into the crowd, and then the song starts of Nyko from Kavinsky, and he's just cruising in his car at night in Los Angeles, and it fits so well that I have found myself cruising through Cape Town. Okay, I'm not actually as cool as Ryan Gosling, but cruising through Cape Town.
Not that far also.
In an Opel Corsa. You know, blasting Kavinsky's night call. And I mean, I'm going like 80. I'm not even pushing the car. It's just like, I'm giving you a night call to tell you how I feel. Okay. Amazing. It sets the tone. You know how cool he is, you know, how cool the city looks at night. And you've seen what he can do when he's doing all his funky shit. But now you see him like almost in his happy place. Just cruising around the city with the song blaring that sets the tone for the movie. Because if you remember, they marketed this movie as like an action, you know.
It was not at all.
I remember friends going to watch this movie and being like, what the fuck is this?
Why are you telling me to watch this movie?
But that's not the point of it. It sets the tone for the entire movie and it gives you a glimpse of what this character is about without actually showing you much if you think about it.
Totally agree with you. Like a couple of things that you said, the stylishness and also that setting the tone, because you've got those, like the neon of LA, you've got the, you know, the main character, how stylish he is.
Driver.
The driver. How stylish he is, Ryan Gosling. Everything, the song just establishes all of
it. And it's like a retro song, like an 80s retro song. And so that neon works so well.
Exactly. And then, like you said, the movie is not what you expected, but I love this film.
Oh, when he stomps that guy's face in the fucking elevator.
Yeah, anyway. Violence is insane. But I think that the song actually tells you what you are really in for.
Oh dear, you got your number two then.
My numero two, no. For number two, I think this one's going to be a bit unexpected for a lot of our listeners, but I've gone for Take On Me, the unplugged version that they did on MTV Unplugged, that's used in Deadpool 2. So Deadpool 2, as you're well aware, is a crazy movie. The first Deadpool was like batshit crazy. Deadpool 2 ups the ante in terms of just madness and you know, into breaking the fourth wall and all of that. And it has a very, very fun, like, pop-infused soundtrack. I think that the guy, Junkie XL, wasn't part of the second movie, but the guy that they got into replacing did a really great job with doing that. And it's filled with this up-tempo. If it's not pop, it's hip-hop. It's like this, you know, it's... And towards the end of the movie, you have this also very famous pop song done in this unplugged way that I think is actually better than the original. The scene where they use it is, and again, I'm just going to establish some context. Wade and Vanessa have been separated because Vanessa was killed, and she's in what looks like a type of purgatory, waiting for Wade in what was their old apartment, which to Wade is heaven. If he could get to her, he would be happy.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole movie, he cannot get there. He's like blocked all the time, can't get in, she can't even hear him. And then Wade sacrifices himself to save the kid who's going to eventually become like this crazy villain. And after sacrificing himself, he actually gets through. And this song is overlaid over that scene.
Yeah.
And you have this like amazingly emotional scene play out in what is a straight up superhero movie. You don't really expect it. With what I think is a wonderful, wonderful song. It gets me every single time. Like, I watch it, and I've got to watch Take On Me's live performance of this, which I also highly recommend, like, anyone to go and check out. But it comes so far out of left field to, like, hear this love song, to hear the song itself played in that way, like, in this much slower way. Yeah, I love it. I think it's so weird, but weirdly wonderful.
Yeah, I think the sense of Deadpool is how ridiculous it is, but there's this emotional core at the center.
Always.
Yeah, which is highlighted by the song and the scene. I mean, if the first one, and I was pleasantly surprised to see that they kind of carried it through into the second one. Take On Me is a fucking classic, man.
I know, Take On Me is like
come on.
And look, to even take the analogy further, if you remember the video from Take On Me, the original music video, it's a guy in a comic book. A girl falls in love with, and she needs to like get him out, and eventually he like fights his way out of the panels, and they together and they fall in love. It kind of has a similar analogy to what's happening with Wade and Vanessa in the movie.
Yeah,
and the song really, it's like it's this gut punch. It like just hits you right in the feels.
Right in the feels. That's what we're about, man. We're about the feels.
We're all about the feels, man.
That's the magic of cinema.
Uh-huh.
Yo, good pick. And is one of the greatest bands of
all time. The Swedes have got a bang on them.
Yeah, Take On Me. Wait, what fucking accent?
Take on me.
I'm from Sweden. Okay. I'm
You're
with you.
Two.
This is my number two.
Mm-hmm.
This is my number two. This one.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Where Is My Mind My Fight with used in Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
So Fight Club. Super popular. I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't love that movie. I think it came out in a time it was super stylistic. Just the concept of Fight Club itself is quite intense. And it's super gritty and...
another unnamed protagonist. We're like really going strong with that theme.
Yeah, look. It was planned all along. This is like a Nolan movie. Yeah, you go on this journey and the one man who you think is... another man, but he's actually a man that is two men. He like tumbles down this rabbit hole, and Brad Pitt, I'm doing air quotes now, but he's been planning this entire thing behind his, you can't even say back, behind behind this part of the brain. And it's kind of like a revolution, and it culminates in them destroying these buildings, which kind of takes everybody back to zero. Like everyone's debt is removed, and there's nothing he can do to stop it. He literally shot himself in the... There's a smoking hole in his face. And there's nothing he can do to stop the bombs. And he's with his Helena Bonham Carter's character. And all they can do is stand and watch the buildings being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pixies' Where's My Mind starts playing. The guitars and even the lyrics, like... it speaks so well to what has happened in the movie and the tone of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard that song before this movie came out. I used to listen to a bit of the Pixies, but not majorly. And then I saw that scene and then I was like, I have to hear this song now.
Mm-hmm.
I have to listen to it. I have to be, you know, let it wash over me.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it fits with the destruction, but also the look of kind of hope on his face afterwards, after he
realized.
Exactly. I mean, he tried to stop it. There's nothing he can do, but, you know, we carry on because it's him and Marla.
Mm-hmm.
Marla?
I can't remember.
I think it's Marla. I think you can't. Don't fucking correct me. I don't care. Marla standing there. At least they have each other.
Mm-hmm.
After all this, this whole fucked up thing from a start of fighting in the basement to like a full on revolution.
Mooring himself in his own
office. Mooring himself in his own office. And culminates and they're just like, where's my mind? It's absolutely perfect, I think.
Yeah, again, those lyrics, like, the lyrics for the scene. Excuse me. On top of all the, like, just the sound and how it goes with the mood that's established. But the lyrics, again, just matching up perfectly
really
with that character's journey at that point. And I think that's probably... you know, the bath soap was like very popular with regard to people and how to think of Fight Club. But if anything, that scene of Edward Norton and Alan Bonham Carter standing there together and watching the buildings just crumble, I think that was probably as popular for those of us who love that movie as anything else that we've seen.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, that song is just the perfect song for that moment in that film. And it just leaves you with that, you know, that mood.
Yeah.
It makes you trepidation, but also hope.
Whose job is it to do that? I mean, you get music supervisors and, like, for example, when you know it doesn't fit, it's blatant, and it pulls me out of the movie when the song doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And I think it was Catwoman is a good, the music is absolutely fucking horrible.
It's not the only horrible thing about
it. No, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Benjamin Bratt's best before now. But Catwoman for one, and even Charlie's Angels, the latest one. Horrible music choices.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think that, look, often there are certain directors, and I think we like a few of them, who are very in tune with what they want and who can express themselves very well in terms of, you know, songs that fit up with scenes. But look, I think the scenes we've chosen here are examples of where the music totally complements what's happening.
Yeah.
And when the opposite happens, as you said, you really, really do feel it.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing when it comes off.
I actually just scrunch my face and I'm like, what the fuck would I do here? Anyway. Okay, it's your number one. This is your number one.
Look, I think your choices have been awesome so far.
Mm.
I'm going to throw in a bonus for the listeners, actually.
Ooh.
Something that I think I really want to mention it because it's one of my absolute favorite uses. It's not a song in a movie, but a song in a trailer.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Do you remember Johnny Cash's Hurt?
Oh, my goodness. No, that's the best ever.
You talk about establishing a mood and just matching up perfectly with the film.
Best ever.
Go and check out that trailer.
Oh, please do it.
If you haven't seen it in a while.
It's so fucking good. Johnny Cash, at the end of his career, covering a Nine Inch Nails song, and it's about, you know,
your life and your regrets.
Looking back at what you've done, and then you have Logan, who's kind of in the same. It fits so fucking well, Jody.
I wish I could have used it.
Oh, man. Just play it at my funeral. play the trailer.
Everyone would probably be happy that you're gone. But when you play that song, we'll get them crying.
Too soon.
We'll get them crying. Okay, moving on to my actual number one, which I think is a lot happier than the example I've just given. My number one, Bohemian Rhapsody, not in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie that's come out recently.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
In Wayne's World from 1992. I love this. So, Wayne's World is one of the few Saturday Night Live sketches that have actually been converted into a good movie.
Mm.
It tells a story about two guys who, much like Ross and myself, are doing what was the equivalent at the time of podcasts. They were airing a show on free-to-air TV, basically, recorded in his basement. And the movie starts off with the protagonist, Wayne, getting into his best friend's car, his best friend being Garth, and two other friends being in the car with him. And they're like, hey, Wayne, what's the music choice going to be today? And Wayne whips out the cassette.
Cassette. For those of you who don't know, music was used to be recorded on tape and little cassettes that you could put in cassette players.
Yes. Mm. Wayne whips out the cassette with Bohemian Rhapsody on it. It is, the nostalgia in that scene is just so wonderful. I think if you haven't sung Bohemian Rhapsody with either your spouse or your loved ones or your friends, have you even lived?
Mm.
Because it's one of the best songs ever written.
Mm.
And the use of it in this movie is just so awesome. They go cruising through the streets. I can't remember where they live, but it's like they go driving around. They're looking at different restaurants. They're planning their night. And they are just headbanging and singing along. Each person in the car has got their own role throughout the song. They bring the full magic of Queen to life. Like the amount of nostalgia and like pure joy at seeing like friends singing the song, it just takes me back to like happy memories with my friends, with even singing with Jenna when the song comes on, and just like the happiness I have with it. I did some reading up, and it's super interesting that Queen was not actually that popular in the US before this.
I was just Googling him now.
And
so it put him on the charts.
It put him back on the charts. I think the song had topped at number 8 when Queen initially released it. They were much more popular in the UK than they were in the US.
Yeah.
The song had topped at number 8 on the Billboard charts. And after Wayne's World released it again, after it came out on their soundtrack, the song shot up to number 2, which was its highest ever rating on the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
And also, funnily enough, established a whole new market for Queens in the US, because at that point, they'd actually lost a lot of interest from US fans. They just weren't keen on seeing Queen work. Another fun fact is that, and I think this just all adds like the emotional layer of how well the song is used, but Michael Myers loved Queen growing up. And when he decided that he wanted to do the sequence in the movie, he spoke to Brian May. He actually called him up out of the blue. Brian May being
Dr. Brian May.
The good doctor. he called the good doctor May to ask him if he'd look at what they've done and if he would show it to Freddie Mercury. And this was when Freddie Mercury was like on his deathbed. He was like really sick. Both of them absolutely loved what they did with us and totally endorsed the use of us in the movie and opened up Queen to a whole new market in the US. They in fact started touring again. The song became famous again. It was just like, it's such a feel good factor for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's my own personal enjoyment of the song, the nostalgia I get from it, but also the success of brought Queen again, which I think was just very much deserved.
I think the best part is recreating that scene with in your own car.
We all must have done
it. Yeah, I've definitely done it.
I don't have the air to pull it off.
No, you didn't need the air. You just needed the spirit, the attitude. It was so fucking awesome. That's the only way I can describe it. It was fucking awesome. It just hits you.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang, dang, dang.
You got
dang,
one
dang.
Thing.
Yeah,
you
are in it. And I advise, like, if you do see it, or you even watch that scene, or you watch Wayne's World again, after that, just when you find yourself driving anywhere, just go on your Spotify or your Deezer and just find Bohemian Rhapsody.
And just crank it up to
the max. You don't need a 12-inch with a fucking Sabo, whatever the fuck. You don't need that. You just need...
You need your car.
Gusto.
You need, all you need is spirit. That's all you need.
Oh, that's a fucking good one, Jody. We should watch Wayne's World again.
We should.
Yeah,
everyone should.
Mike Myers, when he was still good,
and
Dana Carvey when he was still good.
Yeah, oh, so sad.
Okay, my number one.
It
was tough. I'm gonna probably give. I mean, no, I'm not gonna give honorable mentions because I'm gonna just go into my number one.
You might change your mind.
Yes, and it is also by Quentin Tarantino.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought about it, and I'm like, it's this one. And I also recently watched it again. Mm-hmm. And it's Reservoir Dogs, and the song is Stuck in the Middle with You. It was not an expensive movie to make. There's like two locations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Group of guys set out to do a heist. Heist goes wrong. Some of them end up in a warehouse, and there's one guy that's a cop. They're all trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Pink, Mr. White, Mr. fucking Brown. Everyone's got code names. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's a scene here where they have this cop who they have hostage. Tim Roth is dying. He's bleeding out.
He's been gut shot.
Yeah, he's been gut shot. Is that what it's called? Gut shot?
In the stomach, yeah.
Damn.
That's like a muff.
All right. He's been gut shot and he's bleeding out and he's dying. And Michael Madsen is kind of crazy.
It's been teased.
Yeah, it's been teased about that he's a loose cannon. And he starts playing music loud, and it's the song Stuck in the Middle with You. It's a song that has quite a good vibe. If you listen to music in general, I mean, there's songs with good vibes and there's songs with bad vibes. It's a happy song. And he starts dancing around, knife in hand, you know, threatening. I mean, he's enjoying himself. Going through, moving from space to space, and he starts threatening this guy who they have hostage, and eventually he cuts this guy's ear clean off.
And then whispers into the ear.
Yes. He whispers into it, this man's cut off ear. Oh, can you hear me? It's one of those scenes, the dichotomy of this happy song playing and this brutal display of violence. It just fits so well, and I think only a person like Quentin Tarantino can merge that and make it work. It stays with you, and it changes the experience of the song for you, actually.
Yeah.
After seeing that film.
You will not think of happy moments.
No, you won't. You'll just think of this guy having his fucking ear cut. Mm. And the best part is that they don't show the actual cut.
As much as people think that it actually does.
Yeah,
happen,
they don't show him cutting the seat, but then they switch back to the holes.
The earless.
Yeah, the earless head of this guy. Like, you, it shocks you mm-hmm. at that point because you don't think they're going to show it because mm-hmm. they didn't show the cut.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, in 7,
mm-hmm.
in your memory, you think you saw the head in the box, but they don't actually show you the head in the box.
Yeah.
I still listen to the song, and it makes me think of Reservoir Fucking Dogs.
Oh, no, I'm so jealous of this number one. When I saw it on your list, I was like, how the hell did I not remember the scene? But it's Reservoir Dogs was my first Tarantino film that I see. I mean,
oh,
I know
wow.
a lot of people might have
No, seen I started with Pulp Fiction, and then I went back.
It was actually the first one that I saw. I was probably way too young when I saw that movie.
Yeah.
And that scene, the fact that I can remember that scene so clearly, down to what he whispers in the ear.
Yeah.
And not like really remember how everything else played out exactly, even what all the colors were. Just tells you how profound that scene is. It sticks with you. No one would think to match one of the coolest, happiest songs to a scene of a guy cutting someone's ear off.
Yeah.
It makes no sense, but when you see it playing out, it's like, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was stuck in the middle with you. They literally stuck in this warehouse with this madman.
Uh-huh. it's brilliant. I think it will appear on most people's, like,
it fucking should.
Top fives.
Yeah, it should. If you haven't seen it, watch Reservoir Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lower budget Quentin Tarantino movie. So, which you can kind of tell, but it's so good.
It's all the better for what
I think. A budget would have been, a bigger budget would have ruined it, possibly.
I feel like going to watch Reservoir Dogs now.
You should. It still holds up.
It holds up.
Mm.
It's Retromendations, Werner Lass.
Retromendation for the week. So we did discuss using sort of the same theme of our top six and then mm-hmm. giving a retromendation based on that.
Yes.
So I'm going to go first if you don't mind. It was on my list
mm-hmm.
and then I actually thought like, shit, I remember the scene, but I haven't watched this movie in a long mm-hmm. time. So I need to watch this movie again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody should watch this movie again. And it is the movie Ghost. With Patrick Swayze.
Oh,
are you a fan?
Should
or
we
not?
Watch it?
No, fuck that. Listen, this movie is dope. And the thing that got me about the scene is the song Unchained Melody
mm-hmm.
playing while they are busy. Oh, Demi Moore wants to create this pot of mm-hmm. clay on a clay spin mm-hmm. potter machine. I don't know what you call it.
Yes.
A potter's wheel.
A potter's wheel, yes.
Nice. It's like the gut shot.
Yeah. Praise of the week.
And Patrick Swayze comes behind her and they get all messy with Unchained Melody. But the reason why I wanted to choose that is because it just highlights like how in love they are and the bond that the two of those characters have. So
mm-hmm.
the movie goes around, you know, these two young lovers. And Patrick Swayze is killed and it has to do with Demi Moore. I don't want to spoil too much, but it has to do with Demi Moore's boss.
Mm-hmm.
Like I still have to watch it, but I remember it as a good movie. But anyway. And Patrick Swayze is now a ghost. He has unfinished business and his sole purpose is to try and protect the woman that he loves. And
mm-hmm.
he's figuring out how to operate as a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopi Goldberg's in it. She
Oscar
plays a psychic.
Right?
Oscar winning performance.
Best supporting actress.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Whoopi
Goldshine. Now listen. That's my retromendation for this week. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a movie Ghost. Look, the special effects don't hold up.
That's not why you're there.
No, that's not why you're there. You're there to watch this man fight against all odds to protect the woman that he loves.
And love conquers all.
Love conquers all. Mm. All, sorry, all.
That too?
Yeah.
Hi, that's a good one, dude. Again,
no, you didn't seem keen. You're not a fan of Ghost.
Not a huge fan. I would like. Not a huge fan. But that Unchained Melody is also like right up there with Bohemian Rhapsody in terms of being one of the best songs ever written.
I guarantee you there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of couples that have tried to get sexy with a potter's wheel and Unchained Melody.
So I think iconic song, iconic movie, definitely a good recommendation.
And R.I.P. Patrick Swayze, man. One of the best.
How are we talking about, like, we always end up talking
I
about
know, it's
possible,
always someone who's passed away.
Okay, my recommendation for this week is also a song that unfortunately got excluded from my list due to our stringent qualification criteria. That I think deserves a watch again. Also because the sequel's coming out.
And the trailer actually played while I was in Tenet.
Yes. My recommendation for this week is Top Gun.
Top Gun.
I so badly wanted to include Loggins on this list. Danger Zone.
Danger Zone!
And that scene of Tom Cruise on the bike was so iconic, but unfortunately due to the song not matching with our criteria.
Because the song was written for the movie.
It needed to be excluded. But Top Gun is still a crazy fun movie. I mean, look, the homoerotic scenes offline.
The hottest beach volleyball scene ever.
Hottest beach volleyball you've ever seen put to film.
Bodacious bodies.
The amount of machismo. the mano y mano like confrontations that just happened throughout this movie. The nicknames. Maverick, Iceman, Goose, Merlin, the Rose of the Tongue. This movie an apt recruitment for people to enroll in the Navy, like exponentially.
They were actually banned from quoting at one point because they would say quotes from the movie in like training and so on.
And people were just like
banned. All references from Top Gun were banned.
So it's still, I think, like a fun movie. I don't think it's one that comes on TV much nowadays.
No.
It might not be one that people go out looking to watch, but for just pure, like, what was that, early 90s? Action movie enjoyment, go and check
out. Look, we're going to watch it again because when Maverick does come out, we're going to watch the original and we're going to discuss that. Enough masculinity to melt your fucking face off, man. Like, that is, it does its job. Look, I still think it was funded by the government in order to, you know, increase enrollment in the Navy, but
makes perfect sense.
It really does.
You can't really list US government as a producer on a film.
Yeah.
It's gonna look dumb.
Oh my word. And you got Val Kilmer in that man. I mean, looking good as well. Mm-hmm. Like, such a good movie. Such a good song as well. Mm-hmm. Danger Zone. Tom Cruise at his peak. He's still at his peak.
Early Tom Cruise.
Peaking. Yeah.
That's right. What we see, yeah. So Jet picking off.
Peaking Tom Cruise. Much like the movie. good one. That's a good one. So you have two movies to watch this week. Mm-hmm. Ghost and, I think they're both from the 80s or 90s. Ghost and Top Gun. Very good movies, or not good movies. If you hate it, whatever, man.
They can let us know.
You can let us know. Tell them how they can let us know, Jody.
We have got an Instagram page, guys. Please go and check out Bioscope Russell on Instagram. Or alternatively, you can send us an email if you are a little bit older and fatty and daddier than wanting to be on social media. Meet us up at bioscoperussell@gmail.com. So find us on Instagram or hit us up on email. Let us know what you think about those movies that we've recommended. Do you guys have cool lists that you want to contribute? Any type of interaction would be much appreciated as long as it's good.
Bye, everyone.
Peace.